It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
What do you think my cold open was going to be?
What? Oh, you want me to guess? Let's see. You were going to say... You're going to say the only podcast in the world. You're going to go back to that chestnut. The only podcast in the world. Something. That's what you're going to do.
No, that's when we finally announce it. That's not the cold open.
Oh, okay.
You like this position? Is this a good position?
No.
Doing nothing with the settings. Weirdly, actually, when I do this, which is the lumbar support, and I like max it out, it actually kind of feels good. I think I might leave it there. It's nice. No, actually, it. So I'm playing RPGs with my old college friends, and as you know, I have a terrible setup here because I do all of my computing from my chair. It's really funny, actually. The different things I have to grab off the coffee table before I sit back in my chair, it varies. Am I going to use the computer? Well, I need the laptop and I need the ball tracker. Am I going to do something with sound? I need my headphones. Am I going to do something with other people? Then I need the camera. Am I going to do the podcast? Then I also need the side quest deck. Like, and just today, I got all settled and everything, and I was like, okay, now, oh, shit, the camera's up. Oh, and the side quest deck is there. Oh, crap, hold on, I'll get back. But I appear to have the best setup of all of my friends' gaming. None of them use headphones. They all, like, it's really funny to me, and I realize this because I'm the only one who's, like technically I am producing video content. Uh-huh. I mean, with the least effort possible, but... So this, which is a crappy setup for producing video content, is really impressive for people who don't.
Yeah,
none of them wear headphones.
Yeah, when I was taking classes, every once in a while, we'd have video, whatever. And I'd have headphones on, and I'd have my snowball. It's like, and so every once in a while, someone would say, William, where are you? What are you doing? Because you have a microphone, you have headphones, what is going on? And I had to explain. Well, I sometimes do video production, and so, yeah, I have this stuff.
Well, and it's really just because, well, we've done this lazy-ass podcast for 14 years. Like,
sure, yeah, but
again,
I was doing...
we're really bad, but, like, we do think about it, and we buy things to make it good, or to make it not suck. Like, it would be awful if it was just... the mic and I was getting like we'd get it would do also, and it does when I'm with my gaming with my friends. Every once in a while their volume level changes, and also though it might be that Zoom is better because we don't do it over Zoom, we do it over Discord. And when I do my D&D group with my little sister and Trish and everybody, we do have issues, but it's not nearly as much. So, and now that I think about it, I think I'm the only one who wears it. No. One of the other people has like a gaming rig, and so she wears. Yeah. It's just interesting to think about. By the way, you can't tell because I wear headphones, but I got a haircut for the first time in quite a while.
Okay, good.
People get haircuts based on appearance and things. I do it when it annoys me. When I'm like, this is too much hair, it annoys me. And I go. Here's the remote to my chair. I don't normally take it out. It lives over here and I just hit the buttons, but it's having fun now. So. I wish there was a fast option so that I could just be like, bling.
You do? You wish that.
I do. It would be fun.
Well,
it would be
know.
Great content. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is actually stealth marketing for an upcoming project that has been in the works for decades. I cannot tell you what it is, but I can say if you keep listening, you will make Michael Bay very happy. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 740.
Is it really? Dang. That's a lot.
Yeah, we've been doing this
a long time. For those of you just joining us, about 14 years ago, Michael Bay showed up at my house. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and some peoples, perhaps like yourself, like to write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. Often questions, sometimes topics, comments, manifestos. We've got a couple of those. Whatever they want. And the hat, magically, all on its own, no help from us, pure magic, forwards us the emails. We read them. We talk about them till we're bored. And that's the show, except a lot of the time it's not. But whatever. How was your week? I realize you and I don't talk a lot recently over text, because I was looking back and it's just a lot of like 9 a.m. boom, 9 a.m. boom, punctuated by the occasional "I'm driving" sent by my car, depending on where I am when you're responding.
Right.
So, yeah, we haven't had a lot of chatting lately on there. What's up?
No, not much. I did remember some shows that I forgot to talk about, and now I don't even want to talk about them. They're not interesting. I don't have anything interesting today.
Tell me the shows, because one of them might be something that I know and I'm really interested.
Well, I think one of them was
wrong about that.
One of them was Reacher. We watched Reacher.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can skip that.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about it. And yeah, there's just some things you watch because they like for Reacher, I like the main actor. I like that guy. I don't necessarily care for anything else. And I'm just spending time with my wife, really. It's just a thing that can happen while I'm hanging out with my wife.
And you can say something can be good or bad and not good or bad enough to warrant talking about. Sure. I've got things I want to talk about this week, but I've also got things. And sometimes there's things that I'm just like, no one's going to be interested. But there is one that I'm just like, no, it's not fun. I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, and it's not, I wouldn't not like necessarily recommend it. If I was meeting someone for the first time and I wanted them to get to know me, I probably wouldn't mention that I watched Reacher so that they would conclude things about me based on that. I mean, you know,
I usually tell people he's the kind of guy who watches Reacher.
I'm not like,
it is funny because I know of exactly one other person who watches that show. I'm sure there's tons, but I think it's popular, but I know of exactly one other person. They could not be more different from you.
Yeah, and I'm not ashamed of watching it or anything like that. I'm just saying it's like this.
I'm
is
a little
just
ashamed
not,
of knowing that I'm your
it's just
you
not the it. Kind of thing that I would engage in a lot of conversation about. It's just the
sorry.
The
now that we spent a full minute not talking about Jack Reacher, what else?
I'm trying to think of some other things, but like you know,
you said you remembered. Why would you lie?
No, I did remember. I said Reacher. There was another one now that I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered it earlier and told myself I wasn't going to talk about it. So now you're wanting me to remember a thing that I remembered and then made myself forget.
How many times do you have to tell clients, what was your name again?
No, I don't ever have to do that. But I do often have to say, now we talked about this. I seem to recall. Can you refresh my memory on that? I mean, I do that all the time because I don't have a very good memory. You know that.
Listen, you. Hey, buddy, we're just about out of time, pal of mine.
Yeah, I forget things. That's just how, I mean, I've always been that way. There's no point in me pretending that I can remember something when I can't. So I just,
anything else interesting about your week other than the fact that you watched Jack Reacher?
That wasn't even this week. That was a couple weeks ago. And I was like,
what happened this week? Really, try to remember.
Really just
Oak Island.
I mean, yeah, we watched. See, I never talk about that. And I might be
some of actually, our best episodes have been solidly about Curse of Oak Island.
I might be interested in talking about that, but I know you're not, and I know our listeners probably aren't.
I'm super interested in making fun of you for talking about it. Seriously, some of our best content is Curse of Oak Island.
Yeah, I've been watching that. It's finale is this coming, you know, when people watch this, the finale will have aired. So
I wonder if they found the money pit.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it.
Deeply, and it's just a VHS of that old Tom Hanks movie. No, sorry. They find the whole thing. It's the whole down all the way. And at the bottom is just the VHS of Tom Hanks. The Money Pit.
I like that movie. Did you like that movie, Money Pit?
I've never seen that movie. I've seen clips from that movie. I refuse to believe that could be my kind of movie.
I thought it was pretty good.
It just screams not my kind of comedy, but maybe it's just based on the particular clips I have seen.
Yeah, I liked it.
Statues peeing on Tom Hanks.
I mean, you know, so lately my weeks are dominated by, you know, work and what's going on at work. And I have the kind of job where you're probably going to have stuff you're thinking about or doing like outside of business hours and all that other stuff. So it's like, I don't really stop working. And, you know, Abby's been playing Diablo a lot in the evenings and stuff. And she's been putting out those lyric videos of my songs, and she'll do that in the evening, and she'll want my help and input on it. So we're not always watching movies or TV shows.
What are these lyric videos of your songs? What are you talking about? I've never heard of any of this on or off the air. What are you talking about?
I brought it up once to you. I have a friend from, you know, Melcher, who we wrote songs together. We've been doing it since
Pilot
like
Fish, I remember.
1982. And around 1998-ish, actually around 1996-ish, after kind of a hiatus when, you know, he went off to college and I didn't see him very much after that. And then I went off to college. We were finally living only like a mile away from each other in West Des Moines. And so now we could get together and write songs again. So that kind of started as sort of a new songwriting era for us, I guess you could say. And, you know, songs from around there, mostly after 1998, but a few of them between 1996 and 1998 are songs that that Abby's familiar with, because I met her around that time. And so, you know, when I'd go home or when I'd write a song and I'd get together with her and, you know, her then husband and stuff, I'd say, hey, I got this new song. You guys want to hear it? So she's been aware of this era of my songwriting, you know, for the entire time that I've been doing it. And for a period of that time, I wasn't living in West Des Moines, but I was driving from Iowa City like every other weekend. I was going back to West Des Moines to work on music with my friends. So it was kind of a prolific era there between 1996 and say 2006. There's like maybe probably 3 dozen songs from that era that she knows and that she really, really likes. So she decided she wanted to create a YouTube channel for the band Pilot House and make lyric videos. So she's made about 21 of them. And then there's two other songs. Well, anyway, there's like 23 songs out there and 20. Okay.
And the YouTube channel is called Pilot House, all one word.
Yeah, it's just Pilot House. Yeah, one word.
Okay. No, because I wanted to look this up.
I think I sent you a link to it. In a text. I think I did. Maybe I didn't.
On one hand, I don't think you did. On the other hand, I ignore so much of what you say. So.
Yeah, but I mean, so sometimes she wants, I mean, they're her, she's doing these lyric videos. I'm not doing them. So it's like, it's all her work, but she likes to get.
So they might be good.
Well, I think they're fun. I think they're fun. I mean, she shows them to me, and some of them are kind of funny. Some of them are just what they
I
are.
Watch.
Some of them,
I watch a lot of lyric videos of other musicians.
Yeah, I mean, it's just made of stock like Canva stuff all stitched together. Sometimes it's just pictures. Sometimes there's really not any background at all.
The still image and then,
yes.
I watch tons of these,
but
I watch these all the time.
But that,
I like to sing along.
There are some evenings where we do that, and I think I said before, we watch a lot of documentary series, which of course I love, and there's not really much to talk about in regard to those things, so that's why I don't have a lot to say about what I'm watching, because either I'm not watching anything or what I'm watching I know is not interesting for other people. And some of it, like Reacher, wouldn't be interesting to me to talk about.
You remember Dallin?
Yeah, there was a Reacher. Second one. There was a second one too, but it was not a thing. I can't remember it now.
It's the other Jack. I mix up Jack Reacher and Jack Ryan a lot because I don't give a shit about either of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they're sort of in the same,
military
espionage, I guess. I don't really know. Because, the one other person I know who watched Reacher, I was talking about this whole, and they're like, I think you mean Jack Ryan. Oh, yeah, those are two different people. Okay.
There's just all kinds of things that Abby and I like to do. Like I said, she'll play a video game, or we'll work on that, or we'll watch documentary stuff together. So it's rarely is there something that I think is worth talking about.
All right. Well, your individual side quest then is to do more podcast worthy things during the week.
I haven't done that.
A real easy
years,
way to do it is if you can get one of your clients who is like super messed up to sign a release that you can talk about them here. I feel like that'll cover it for a while.
Sure,
like if you've got one that's like me, like I am really fucked up, but I'm also very open of people just talking about it. So if you can find somebody like me, it's why I'm so good at podcasts. If you could you can't be more like me. I've tried that for too long, but if you can find somebody more like me and talk about their shit, that's good content.
That's not going to happen. Why don't you just talk about your
one and a half tonus?
That's,
you know?
That's always interesting. Your week is always interesting. We should always just talk about your week.
We finally went to the farmer's market. We missed the first one because Trish was gone for the weekend, but we went this week. And then we went to the Kelowna farmer's market, except they don't call it a farmer's market, but they have a thing on Saturdays also, because a friend and coworker of Trish's wife had a booth there. And so we were going to go see and, you know, support and everything. And then we didn't see him, which it's not very big. So we're like, they're clearly not here. And both the coworker and the wife are Indian. So visually we had cues, you know, and Kelowna, like most places around here, mostly white. But we didn't see them. And then later on Monday, she talked to him and they were there too, and they didn't see us. And I'm like, a giant dude in a dress. So we're still not sure how this happened, but anyway, it was a fun time there, and potentially have discovered a new local beef vendor. Because you remember we had that place in Cascade. You and I went the one time.
Yes.
It's a long ass way away, and you can get it delivered, but it's a long ass way, and it's not cheap because it's that 21 day dry aged or whatever. This is just a local beef vendor, and they're based out of, I think, Washington, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll deliver and everything, and it's not as crazy. Although we're thinking maybe the age, because we got a couple things, and one was a steak to make steaks out. Because for those of you who don't live around here, the hot weather has shown up. Now it is immediately going away again, but we had 3 or 4 days of very hot weather.
Yes.
Especially for this time of year. And so I grilled up a steak in the morning, and then we had like steak salad. And it kind of had that funk that we associate with beef aging that we like. So it might be there. But the big thing was, they had a pot roast at the market in an instant pot. And they literally had taken the meat, put it in there, added water, salt, pepper, closed it up, did it for 90 minutes, natural release. Nicest, tenderest shit ever. And it was just water and salt and pepper. So we bought a roast, and I brought it home and put other seasonings in it. Easy. Real easy. For like a big honking pot roast. So I will probably do that kind of thing more often because it's really nice. And yeah, tender as hell. I should have put more seasoning in because I put a lot of garlic and paprika, and none of it really came out. It tasted fine, but it just tasted like beef. So that was cool. I am still on the track for what my next video game is going to be. I've been playing a couple little things, but nothing's really getting me. And then I tried a new one the other day that is very interesting. So as you know, I have an Xbox and I have Game Pass, which means they're always giving us free games. And I try mostly to play those because there's plenty of them that I like and I want to play, and I'm already essentially paying for it. So why would I spend money? And one pops in the other day whose title is Claire Obscure Expedition 33. So naturally, I ignored it because what the fuck is that? I looked at it and it's like, oh, it's RPG or what? Whatever. It's called what? I don't care. Like you this is the people do not title their video games well. Like you need in a world like this where I'm just seeing a bunch of stuff showed up. Like you need to grab me with something or at least give me a sense of what it's about. No, Claire Obscure Expedition 33, of course. But then. I'm not fighting anything. And suddenly, it turns out people are losing their minds over this game. It is a turn-based RPG, which are very rare these days, or becoming exceedingly rare. They're not very popular. But it's actually fun. It's got like QTE, quick time event kind of thing. So you're actually still sort of engaged. It's really pretty. And it's from a French studio, and this is their first thing ever. And despite being on Game Pass, which means millions of people could play it for free, it has already sold, like actually purchased, 2 million copies out of the gate. And everybody's just loving the shit out of this. But here's the thing, because I learned a little bit about what it was about, and it's the saddest story ever.
Oh.
It is a sort of post-apocalyptic world in which a group of people are living in a city that's basically the ruins of Paris. And what happens is every year on a specific day, the Paintress, which is this big scary ghost lady, appears out by this mountain and paints a number onto the big mountain. And everybody that age and older vanish. And every year the number goes down by one. So it started at like 99 and now it is down to 33. And so every year the oldest person is younger and younger. And theoretically, eventually they get so young they can't produce children anymore. Or they get so young that they can't take care of themselves. And literally the prologue of the game is you going to see your ex-girlfriend minutes before she and dozens of other people are just going to vanish from the earth. And then the next morning you're going to leave on the annual expedition made up of people who are going to die next year to go and try and defeat the Paintress. And there have been 67 expeditions so far, and no one has returned. It is the saddest fucking game. And little spoilers post prologue, you show up and weird shit happens immediately and kills almost all of your expedition because it's a turn, but you have to have your party members, so you can't have everybody. And so there's a lot of trying to deal with that grief, and the game is gorgeous. The voice acting is immaculate. The gameplay loop is it is tricky getting used to, and I did drop it down to basic difficulty, but it's interesting. It is not boring, which I like. The game is sad so far. It's real, like, and I'm real susceptible to that kind of shit, so I'm really torn. But I'm hoping once I'm sort of out of more of the beginning of the game, we're going to spend a little less time focusing on that. And I'm fascinated by the lore. At this point, I don't know what is going on any more than what I've just described to you. But presumably, we will find out. So I'm kind of doing that game, but I don't know. It's, And it's not even like, you know, I talk about games being bummers and it's just like everybody being home. No, nobody's being bad here. They're just having a very sad time. And well, they are some. Weirdly, as we're going to this festival, some other person who's also going to die felt the need to pick a fight with our ex-girlfriend about how she was so selfish to never have kids, even though she's like, I'm not going to bring kids in this world so then they can just die. Like, and we're all like, you're dying in like 5 minutes, both of you. Maybe this is not the time for this. It's, and people fighting over whether or not you should go on an expedition, and it's a whole deal. Also, the main guy absolutely looks like Robert Pattinson, but like from The Lighthouse when he had all that facial hair. Totally looks like him. Handsome man. So yeah, it's a fun game, but it's the saddest. It's very French. It's also very French. Like, existentialist as fuck.
Well, that ground's already been covered.
I was gonna say the Paintress is just gonna turn out to be Sartre.
I mean,
like, the number of berets in the opening sequence was insane. And what I love is they all speak English, and most of them speak with British accents, but they swear in French. They say putain and merde, and they'll do no at the end of something, but it's still English otherwise. It's very weird. But yeah, I'm doing that. I still haven't done Blue Prince, which is a really huge game right now. It's the puzzle roguelike, which is also on Game Pass, and people love it. And I only just figured out it's all about a house and where the rooms are positioned, and it's called Blue Prince, aka Blueprints. And I only just the other day figured out that's the joke. But I haven't played that one yet, but I'm thinking about it. So, but yeah, I'm really having a hard, I want to have something I can sink my teeth. I mean, it's not winter, but I still want to be like into a video game. And I did Avowed, and that was fun, but I'm done. So we'll see. We finished up first season of Los Espookies. It ended pretty good. Like, that could have been a series finale and I'd be okay with it. We're doing Somebody Somewhere season 3, which I still highly recommend, but it's not one to talk about easily unless you've also seen it, so I won't really say much about that. I watched 3 movies, 2 of which I don't need to talk about that much, so that's good. The other night, I was reminded that this exists. It's a 1999 movie called Drop Dead Gorgeous. It is a movie about a small town beauty pageant in Minnesota, in Montrose, Minnesota. And it has everyone in the world in it. It has several people you would know by face, but it also has Kirstie Alley, Kirsten Dunst, Brittany Murphy, Amy Adams, and Denise Richardson, just tons and tons of people, a lot of them when they were very young. And it's a mockumentary. It's very like a Christopher Guest mockumentary thing. Mm-hmm. And there's it's called Drop Dead Gorgeous because people are dying and we don't know who's killing them, that kind of thing. It's weirdly, that's less the focus of it than you might think. So it's hard to say, but that is an element of it. And it's a silly comedy kind of thing. And it's quite good. I would recommend it with the caveat. It is extremely of the 90s. And in particular, actor Will Sasso plays a reoccurring character who is severely mentally disabled, and that's the joke, and the R word gets tossed around a shocking amount. Mm-hmm. But setting aside the sort of probably 10 to 15 minutes of total runtime where that's a thing, it's a pretty fun movie if you're into sort of those offbeat fake documentaries, which I am. Like, it's not as good as a Christopher Guest, but it's like, if you like Christopher Guest movies, you probably like this. It's fun. Hmm. So I'd check that out. Also, Trish finally made me watch the original La Femme Nikita by Luc Besson, the very famous, I think the movie that kind of made him an international star and was a very big deal and spawned a 5-season TV show, and everybody loves it. About a troubled woman off the streets who gets taken into a secret government organization and trained to be a badass super spy for the government. It was kind of, this was back when that genre wasn't a big thing.
Hmm.
Like this you see that a lot now. They're stealing from this, I think. Really hated it. Like it upset me. I don't think it holds together. I think it is. Let me specify. I'm wrong. Okay. Like, this is a very popular classic movie that people who are way smarter than me love. This is a good movie. I think it's a bad movie. I think none of the elements of the story hold together. I think everybody in it is awful, and the ethics of what they're trying to say and what is being said is ridiculous. The entire nature of how this secret government organization works not only just makes no sense on its face, but like is doing it badly. If I was running a secret government organization, this is one of the most inefficient and risky ways of, like, it's stupid. and it's, I think it's awful. I think the movie's really awful to the degree that I was a little glib about it right after we watched it, because Trish still thought it was good. And I was maybe a little mean right out of the gate. We didn't talk a lot the rest of the evening because I just really hated it. I thought it was bad. It made me unhappy. It is competently filmed and competently acted and I guess competently edited. Like, it's a movie. It's a real movie. And it has a couple of decent named actors in it, including the French guy who's in every single Luc Besson thing. The lead in The Professional, and the guy from the Godzilla movie who talks about chewing gum makes you look more American. That guy. he always has the stubble beard in every movie he's ever in. And the sort of hair is the same. Anyway, that guy, he's in it. And a couple others who are known quantities outside of French films. I just really hated it. If you liked it, explain it to me. The magicaltalkinghat.com, go to the blog and tell us your thoughts on it, because again, I'm wrong. This is one where like millions of teeth can't be wrong. Like, I clearly, insofar as something can be objectively good or bad, the movie's objectively good. I think it's very bad. I feel it is very bad.
So that was like early 90s, right? 19 maybe it was
yeah
like, maybe it
yeah,
was yeah, 1990 yeah. So that does predate a lot of the things I'm familiar with, like Alias or, you know, anything like that.
Which all come from this, yeah. It is a very seminal film. And I won't deny it its influence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I can't.
It does a lot of things. I should say up front, I can't swear this is true, but I feel like when this came out, this was Joss Whedon's favorite movie of all time. everything that we thought was good about Joss Whedon and everything that we know is bad about Joss Whedon is this movie, like so much.
But
the
I mean,
strong female character who gets brutalized a whole bunch, that kind of thing, you know.
Oh,
he loves that.
Yeah, but like, I want to say, like, there was. Like Emma Peel from, what's that TV show she's from?
The Avengers.
Yeah. So, I mean, she obviously was predated anything like this.
Oh, yeah. But, the concept of female spies was not new, but.
Yeah. Or femme fatale in general, I guess.
Yeah. But this idea of this woman gets sort of sucked into a double life. As a secret agent that can be called upon when needed, kind of thing.
And the whole, yeah, and it's a secret, yeah, right. I get
also, she's a drug addict, like a severe drug addict, who just for fun, while she was sitting on the ground after the cops had broken up a really botched robbery her and her friends were doing, and she was just sitting there the whole time, she woke up enough to see that they were all dead and the cops had won. And she just pointed a gun at a cop's neck and looked at him for a while and then shot him in the face. And then she got taken to the secret. Well, then she got sentenced to life in prison. But then she got sequestered away to the secret organization, where she proceeded to not want to become a super spy and be pretty bad at it. And then we fast forwarded and said she was good at it. And then the rest of the movie is her having to spy and being very bad at it and not wanting to do it. How is this your plan? Why is this your plan? It's no, it's bad. I don't, but it's good, but it's bad. Anyway, so I hated that. And I just need to talk about it because it is so famous and it should. Now I want to talk about a movie that I really love. And I saw it a long time ago and really loved it. And then I was like, I should make Trish watch that. And I made Trish watch that, and I love it even more. This is a good movie.
Okay.
The only caveats on this movie are you do have to pay attention. It's one of those movies. It is called Predestination. It is based on a Robert Heinlein short story called All You Zombies. And if any of you are familiar with that short story, you will know roughly what this movie is about. It is a sci-fi film involving time travel and stars Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, I think I've seen this.
It's really good. First of all, it does time travel right, and I love that. And it really... When you first watch it, it's very interesting to see, because it was fun quizzing Trish later. I'm like, okay, when did you figure out this part? When did you figure out this part? And sometimes it was way ahead, and sometimes it was like, not till they told me. And things that I came into it, I've never read the short story, but I know the basic premise. So I came into it with a little information the first time. But there's still a fair bit of mystery, and they add some plot that the short story doesn't have because there wasn't enough plot in the short story, because it's a short story.
Right.
But I wouldn't have thought a rewatch would have been that interesting because it's a lot about picking apart what's going on. No, now you can do a lot of seeing hints of things beforehand and making connections you didn't, because now you're not trying to keep track because you already know what happens.
Right, right.
So a rewatch was amazing. And also, it has some interestingly progressive... It has interesting things to say about certain modern social issues that didn't exist when the short story came out, at least not, sorry, we're not publicly aware of then. And I'm dancing around because there's so much in this movie to give away. But if you like I think thriller is probably the category it falls under, but if you like interesting sort of sci-fi time travel thriller with again, you have to pay attention or you're going to get lost. But if you do pay, like, you can't be on your phone or whatever. But if you're paying attention, it's good. Cannot recommend it enough. Love this movie. It is kind of a small movie. But it's really good. Yeah. So cool. I would recommend to everybody check it out. Ethan Hawke is kind of an awesome actor. I've never disliked him.
Yeah.
But I recently am like, he's in everything, and he doesn't just play Ethan Hawke. Like, he plays – I mean, I know he did, what, The Black Phone recently, and I'm fucking not watching that movie. But he does all sorts of things lately and is pretty good at it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think I've given him enough credit. He is – I think he's sort of having a sort of second resurgence in his career. Like, he was a big thing sort of in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then sort of, I mean, I think he's always been working, but he kind of was, and now he's becoming a thing again. And I should say, Predestination's from like 2010 or something. It's not a recent film. But yeah, I really like him. And a couple other people in this movie that I looked up this time, and I'm like, I need to follow them. Again, I'm not going to say who, because there's so many spoilers to be given away in this movie. It's a movie of spoilers. So you just got to watch it.
I feel like I've seen it, but I don't remember a thing about it, really. Maybe we should watch it again.
You should. I would be surprised if you didn't like it.
Well, that's a long time ago.
I won't be hurt if you don't like it. I'm sure there are reasons one could not like it, but I really like it. It's a good... I think that's it. Let's do an email.
Okay.
Unless you've thought of another show you watched.
Nope.
Did you ever watch Baby Reindeer?
Nope.
I when it came, it looked like it was going to be weird or whatever. I recently watched a Amanda the Jedi video talking about it. It's a black comedy series on Netflix that is based off of real life about this guy having a stalker. And apparently this guy has been he's a British guy who's been trying to make it as a comedian for a while, and he came up with a couple of one-man shows that actually are sort of autobiographical about having an actual stalker and things like that. And he made this show, and it looks amazing. I could not cope, but it looks really interesting. And based, it's not exactly like one-to-one real life, but it's based largely on experiences he had. Anyway, you got his email?
Yeah, it's from Stu.
All right.
He wants to know, what is your oldest thing that you regularly use that's still going or that you repair to keep it working?
My tongue. I have to repair it regularly. And I did it all the time. And it's very old.
Yeah, very old.
What's the old thing? I'm as old as my nose and slightly older than my teeth.
Yeah, and
that's one of those cute things people say when you ask their age and they don't want to tell you. I mean, I would have said the washing machine. I don't have a lot of stuff like that, which is probably not a good thing. I'm a pretty good American consumer in that when shit goes bad, I just buy a new one. A lot. There are things I've had for a long time because I'm just sort of too lazy to replace. I mean, that fridge is a disaster. We need to get that replaced, and it's just sort of inertia has stopped that. But I'm trying to think of like things that I really like and then I fix and then I don't have a lot, do you?
I mean, the oldest thing, which is what he's asking, so.
Do you have any, like, keepsakes that have practical use? I think is the big way you get to this. Some device or, I think a kitchen tool would be a very good version of this. And I do have old kitchen tools, but they're like, they're not mechanical or something that can break and be fixed, really.
Probably the oldest thing we have in the household that I don't think it's ever had to been repaired. It's just never broken down. Is my wife's mixer. It's probably the oldest thing. I mean, I think she's had it for like 20 some years or something.
I'm just picturing an incredibly decrepit old man in a corner with a cocktail shaker.
You know, it's one of those little
KitchenAid mixer. I know. I didn't say I didn't understand. I just have a much more fun image in my head than what you're talking
about. Now, there were things that could compete with it for a while. Like, I think she had also a very, very old blender for a long time, but that broke down and we don't have it anymore. So that obviously that can't be an answer to the question.
That's the thing. We have old shit, but we don't fix it. It now, either is still working or it breaks and we replace it.
Yeah,
I mean, occasionally, like the washer broke one time and Trish fixed it. That's Trish's deal. Trish is the handy one. I don't.
Yeah, Abby fixed the dryer. So we've had that dryer, you know, long enough that there has been one repair that she did. We had a dishwasher that we had long enough that it had one repair that she did, but then it broke down in a way that it had to be replaced. And so this dishwasher, we actually haven't had in very long. The only thing I can think of that I have personally that is, you know, it's 20 years old that I have had to do maintenance and service on is a pocket watch that you guys gave me at Applied Systems. I've often had get the battery replaced. I've often had to, you know, do things with it.
I think that's a good example.
I do have another pocket watch that my brother Scott gave me that's similar. That
exactly
that I
the kind of things to you,
I'm not using, But if I could, you, I could take it to a jeweler and have the battery replaced and could use it. That watch is like 30 years old, pocket watch. So I have old pocket watches that I suppose I've kept in, you know, in nice places so that they don't get lost. I could take them to a jeweler and have them cleaned and refurbished or whatever, and I could still use them. But outside of those pocket watches, in terms of things that you would fix or maintain,
Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting one because it's not like the alternative is throw it away and buy a new pocket watch. Like in theory, well, like you keep one of them and it's broken. Like it's not about its functionality.
I mean it would be easy and inexpensive to for me to take that pocket watch that my brother gave me and use it again. That's not a problem. I just have another pocket watch, but I'm not throwing the pocket watch he gave me away.
Well, okay, but do you actually use the other pocket watch? Like you carry it around
The
and check the
last time I
time and
used
shit?
it, the last time I used it was a couple of years ago, but yes, I mean I like to use it. I have it, but the when the battery went dead and I it you know I haven't gone to I have to go to a jeweler to replace the battery or else I'm going to scratch it up. So when the battery runs down, I will go a few years without using it. But otherwise, yeah, I do carry it when it's working.
This could be another answer to your whole keeping track of time in your office thing. You could just set that on the desk next to you or whatever. Or, you know, buy a wall clock.
Which I'll probably do. But yeah, it's those I mean, I have a lot of old things that I maintain in a way, but they're not like, I mean, for example, books. I have old books. I have 50-year-old books that I keep in a place that I know where they're at, you know, they're kept nice. Yeah. I can pull it down and read it and put it
These
right
are
back.
not kept nice.
Well, I keep my books nice. But so I have old things. But if you're talking about a thing that you would have to maintain or like the piece of machinery, I think these pocket watches that I've gotten from other people and that I will never get rid of because they were gifts to me from other people, and they still work if I get a battery in them and maybe repair a few things, I'm always going to have those. But
Yeah,
that's about
see.
it.
You and I talk about not being very sentimental, and I think neither of us is, but I think I've got a leg up on you. I don't even do that. Like, I don't even maintain gifts. I'll keep them for a while, but I'm like, if it's a situation where it's not something I would actively use, even if it wasn't a gift, and it's a situation where I'm not going to see that person, or there won't be an opportunity for me to, like, look, I'm using or wearing or whatever the thing. I'll keep it until I'm tired of keeping it, and then, or until it breaks or is worn down or whatever, and I'll get rid of it. I'm at the point now where if I get a card in the mail, I open the card, I read the card. If it's a card just to me, I then pretty much immediately throw the card in the recycling. If it's a card to me and Trish, I will have Trish see it, and then if she doesn't hold on to it, I'll do that. Like, I don't. Keeps you even now when I unearth a box of stuff and I'm like, oh my God, look at all this old stuff. It's neat to look at, and some of it I'm sort of holding on because I think I'm sort of supposed to, but it's just sitting in a pile until I finally get the courage to just throw it out. I don't know. I'm weird. Don't keep nothing. Don't like La Femme Nikita. I'm just a weirdo. This is from Stu, right?
But I mean,
Sorry, Stu.
you can't really like if an appliance like a you know as I've often said, we've replaced pretty much every appliance in the house at least one time. Some of them like this we're on our third refrigerator for gosh sakes. When a thing breaks down so badly that it costs more to repair it than to replace it. You're going to do that to begin with. You're not going to keep the old thing around for like parts or something. I mean, this is just what else are you going to do except get rid of a thing that's too costly to keep?
The exception I can think of is if, for whatever reason, you believe it's that they don't make them like this anymore. Like the old version is better in some way. that no new version could be. You spend the money to fix it, I suppose.
I mean, we don't even have our original water heater. It blew out.
Well, you shouldn't. We should have gotten rid of ours by now.
The only thing I can think of that we have original in the house that's like a big appliance-like thing is our furnace. Our air conditioner is replaced. Our stove has been replaced. Everything else in the house has been replaced in the 20-some years we've lived here, which, you know. And now, finally, the roof has been repaired. We've got pipes in our house that are not the same pipes that this house started with. So,
which is all normal. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
We have done a lot of that. We haven't done enough of that, but it's pure inertia. Like, it's not, we're not attached to these things. We just can't be bothered.
I think the answer to Stu's question for a lot of people will be like a watch, like an heirloom watch or a watch someone gave them. It's like, well, I'm not going to get rid of this. I'll have the jeweler fix it. I think watches would be a very common thing for someone to answer this question with.
I think a mixer could be a good one.
Or like, kitchen things, like you said, things like that.
Well, because there are some that they just sort of don't make them like that anymore. Or weirdly, some things that are now the equivalent is way more expensive than it was back in the day. So you might as well just fix the old one.
Now, when I was growing up, a very common answer would be a car, of course. Certain cars.
Yes.
A person will have a car for 30 years, just fix it, you know. But that's not that common anymore. Certainly not for us. We haven't.
No. And to me, that very much, at least for me, will always be a balance of, well, how much would a new one cost? How much is going to cost to fix this? How much will it continue to cost to fix this? And usually our mechanic is pretty good about that. I can understand that one, though. You got a car you love. I've never had a car really like that. The closest I had was my first car because it was my first car. And I did not have an option there. In the middle of the night, somebody came down our driveway in the snow and slammed into my car and totaled it. And I didn't find out till the next morning. So I didn't have a chance to be.
In a way, since now I have a stake in the farm back home, there's some hardware that I kind of own that's kind of mine now. I mean, it's not really, but kind of is. And if I count that stuff, the oldest thing that I have, quote unquote, air quotes, that has been constantly repaired or whatever is going to be like a 65-year-old tractor, right? That we still have.
You have a lot of sentimental value for one quarter of this thresher.
I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't think about how, you know, this tractor is older even than my dad, you know, some of the stuff we had and that we just kept fixing it. That was just a normal thing. Now in the, you know, first quarter of the 21st century, looking back, it's like, that's pretty extraordinary that we just kept fixing. And still these machines still exist. We still, like, I'll go home and, you know, this was true for a long time while dad was alive, and it's still true. Well, let's see if we can get the tractor started. And like, hours might be spent just to get this machine to start so you can take a circuit around the farm with it, and then you'll shut it off and we'll see a few months from now if we can get it to start again.
In the greater Iowa City metro area, if your vacuum breaks, there is one place you can go. There is a vacuum repair shop. It is owned and operated by a single 200-year-old white man who, I am dead serious, has a Spiro Agnew bumper sticker on a cork board in the store. It is yellowed and peeling, but it is there. And I can tell you from experience, it will probably cost more than it would to just buy a new vacuum.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people used to have sewing machines for ages because someone would fix them. And for a brief period of time, a few decades, televisions. There were television repair places. You could get a TV repaired.
Now there's barely computer repair places.
Yeah, exactly. There was that just
Almost
for a very
always,
short.
and I know that's what happens with me. If mine busts now, I'm not taking it to somebody to see. I'm like, well, I guess it's time for a new machine.
Yeah, there was a very brief time where computer repair was a thing. And
Yeah,
I mean, it still
I
is. You
know
can still
it.
find those places, but not much anymore.
And it was never a great experience, but
No, yeah. Yeah, right.
I do. I always say this every, and this doesn't apply to most things, obviously, but pretty much every time I get a new computer, I pay less than I paid for the last one, and it's better. It's very strange. My first laptop cost me like 2 grand, and it's so much worse than anything I had afterward. And
Correct.
nowadays, 300 will usually cover it for me. Like,
Correct. Correct.
now, to be fair, I was trying to do more of a gaming laptop back in those days, and that will be more expensive. But that gaming laptop is so much worse than this one, which is not a gaming machine. Yeah. Now we're just getting into old men yelling about how nothing's built to last anymore, which is true, but I feel has probably been done by better podcasts than us. We're young and hip. We try and get with the new and the other day, now that I realized it's not going away, I thought again about whether or not to get TikTok.
Oh.
And again, I decided not to. I think I would enjoy it. I think I would spend hours on it doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I already
Well,
have enough of that in my life.
that's what a lot of people say it does.
I mean, to say nothing of the fact that also it would be so much harder to avoid current events, which I still need to do. Although somebody the other day was like, how do you watch YouTube and not have that? I'm like, because I don't watch videos about it, so YouTube doesn't recommend videos about it. Because she's like, all of mine are. I'm like, and do you watch them? She's like, yeah. I'm like, so they give you more. YouTube knows I ain't interested. I have taught YouTube. Fuck off with that shit. I want stuff about video games and movies and funny animatics of podcasts and D&D stuff. And that's pretty much it. Role-playing game stuff in general. It's just been a lot of D&D lately. All right, side quest time. Speaking of D&D. Hold on, I have to prepare. Hold on.
Why are you doing that? Are you doing? I don't understand. Explain it to me. Hold on.
Goodness. All right.
The
Think
people who only listen, I don't even know what I'm talking about, I guess.
I know that I love that. It's gonna make them watch the YouTube. What? Pick a number.
Five.
I'm gonna have to check if that's actually.
You sit back, or you make the chair recline, and then you make the chair not recline. What is
It's called showmanship, you punk. Figure it
it?
out. You've been doing podcasts for 14 years. Get on it.
I don't think it is called that. I mean, I could think of some other words maybe, but showmanship is not one of them. Some of them might even be official diagnoses.
God damn it. I don't like that you now actually know literally what's wrong with me. I don't like that. I feel that you have too much information now. There are
My God,
52
that's
cards
hilarious.
in this thing.
Oh yeah, like a standard card deck. And so
Yeah.
we're if we would run out after a while, not because
Except that we keep getting the same one.
it
I'm pretty sure this is a repeat. In fact, I think this might be the third time we've gotten this one. Purge a little space junk. I
Oh
guess this
yeah.
is very thematically appropriate for this episode.
Okay.
Sell or donate something you don't use anymore.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It specifically says like a superfluous pocket watch.
Does not. I don't have that many
All
pocket
right.
watches, by the way.
And the
Just a point.
quote. the quote from your favorite Frank Oz character. Yes, Fozzie Bear. No. train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. Waka waka.
I told you about that. I wrote a film script once where Luke was going to go to Dagobah, and instead of Yoda, Grover was going to be there. And Grover was going to teach him near and far and all that other stuff. That was going to be his Jedi training.
I love that. I love that so much.
But I never got a chance to film it, but I had an idea for that. And also,
Disney would come after your ass.
Yeah, Grover teaching Jedi skills.
I can spot Frank Oz as a voice actor when he sounds close to Fozzie Bear. A lot of his voices are Fozzie Bear adjacent, I've discovered recently. Mm-hmm. Like, for some reason, that's my dad. Because Frank Oz does all of the voices. Like, there are definitely times I would have no clue it was him. He is a chameleon of voice acting.
Well, yeah, I mean,
all the greats.
Like, I don't think Maurice you can LaMarche. Tell it's him when he does Piggy. Like, someone has to kind of tell you. It's like, oh, wow, that's amazing.
There's a ton. But I have discovered recently that there are quite a few that sound kind of like Fozzie. And it's like I'm spotting that's Fozzie Bear. Not that I'm spotting that's Frank. I'm like, oh, Fozzie Bear is doing a character voice. and so by no means all of them, but I'm surprised now. I'm like, I bet that's Frank Oz. And I'll look it up. I'm like, it is. Because it kind of sounded like Fozzie Bear.
He's really good. Like, you know, he does Sam the Eagle. And I mean, you can kind of tell that's him, but that's well, still, that's done pretty in good.
Tons of other things. And a couple of times I've seen him just acting, live action. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is, always, I was like, that dude was Frank Oz? Oh, all right.
Yeah, he was in Blues Brothers, I think.
Yeah. There was some dumb little thing I watched recently that he was in. I don't remember.
Yep.
So, yeah. Stu, have you got stuff like you were asking about? Maybe it's time to sell or donate it. Maybe it's space junk. Space got a little junk in your space. All right. Stu is apparently on duty to keep the podcast alive currently. He's sending in a lot of emails, and we appreciate that. I know you guys all have a chore rota of whose turn it is. So whoever's next on the chart to send in all the emails, get ready, because Stu could fall at any moment. Sorry, that I don't know what happened there. But thank you, Stu, and thank you, everyone. And please email us, all of you, with whatever you want us to talk about, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, or go to the blog and talk to us about what we did talk about and how you feel about that, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Or obviously you can say stuff on YouTube or whatever, but just stay out there. Don't come here. But stay out there listening, because we appreciate you, and we do it for you. And Michael Bay.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.